Access number 30640, Mr. Len Abbott, Reel 2. Now, we were talking about your time during the war. Anything else you remember about the war years? You know, things that come to mind, the V2s or anything like that?
Well, I remember the scene. Again, do you remember I told you Grantham Road actually got blown up by two V1s, the doodlebugs? Well, the first bomb, or the first V2 rocket that come over hit on that particular road again. Believe it or not, there was three of them, and the three destroyed the road completely. But that was the first time, because nobody understood. All of a sudden, there was no warnings, no nothing. It just there was a big explosion, and nobody knew what it was. And then a couple of days later, they started telling you about the V2 rockets. Because if they'd have done them at the beginning, we most probably wouldn't be here now.
were they frightening, the V2s?
Yeah, very frightening. No warnings at all. No, you didn't get a warning at all.
Did any others land locally?
Manor Park, there was some embarking. A load embarking.
That's not so far away, is it?
No, it isn't so far away. It was mainly where the factories were. They tried to knock out all the factories.
Now, anything else about the war years that you remember?
My dad come home.
Was your dad serving?
No, he got brought out of the army then. He got brought out of the army when he was discharged for medical reasons. Then he went to work for the post office.
So what about the end of the war? Did he have any street parties?
Oh yeah.
What were they like?
They were out of this world, weren't they?
People don't know what they're like. Did you have one on VE Day?
Yep.
What was that party like? What do you remember as much as you can about it?
Right, that one, I remember getting up in the morning, and we're told that we've got to get dressed and get ready, because we're all going to a party. But none of us realised what party we were going to go to. And we went over to Barrington Road, where my nan used to live, and they had this street. And I'm not kidding you, a table. Well, when you talk about a fair, like, long street, you're talking about a street, like, I would say at least a quarter of a mile long. And they had a table right down the middle of the road. And they had so many different types of chairs and tables and everything. But everything sort of went down the middle of the road. And for us, we had, I can remember we having sandwiches, jelly, custard, you name it, we had it. And really, it was, but there was only three of us. There was only the three. And then my sister was born in, when was she born? I'm not sure, but in about 1944, I think she was born. So really, my sister would be around then, but she was left over the road into my nan's house.
Now, what's her entertainers? Food, lots of food.
You had plenty of food, and none of the kids wanted for anything.
Now, what about the entertainment, though?
You had clowns, you had people singing, and they never used to just sing and then stop. They used to be walking up and down the street, singing and dancing and doing every mortal thing. And of course, as they went up the street, the people that hadn't sung started joining in with them. So automatically you got it going all the way around, and it used to go the other side of the road and then come all the way back again. And that's how they kept it going. And they did keep it going for, we went to bed at, I would say, 12 o'clock, and they kept it going.
Was there drink there as well?
I mean, you never knew that. I mean, you didn't know it, but there was plenty of drink around, I promise you. And my nan and them all got, my dad never used to drink, though, funny enough. My dad never drank.
After the war, what about your education? How did that settle down, or was that ruined? I mean, you'd still have a few years left, wouldn't you?
Well, the trouble with the as I said to you, the trouble with that was when I was, because it happened, we had two parties. We had a VJ day and VJ. Oh. Now, the VJ day, I was still in hospital.
You got your rheumatic fever.
I've got rheumatic fever then.
Tell me about the rheumatic fever. How did you pick that up? Well, you probably don't know, but yes, tell me what it was like.
I'll tell you exactly what it was, where I got it. You know where I got it? WV tanks. You know the WV tanks?
No. Now tell me what they are.
Well, they're what they were when they got a bomb that blew out two houses. They'd built in a big, like, swimming pool, if you like. And what we used to do, we used to cheat and go swimming in there. And they reckon that's where I caught me rheumatic fever from.
And what are the symptoms? I mean, it's not so common these days, rheumatic fever.
Oh.
How badly did it make you?
Very bad. They brought me down from Sheffield, and she used to lay upstairs in the same bed, and I couldn't have no sheets or blankets on me legs.
So what were the symptoms?
Oh, pain. That's all I can describe it. And if anything touched you, the pain would be three times as big, if you know what I mean. It was really bad.
And how long did it last for?
If I remember rightly, it lasted for... I come out in a couple of years. I had it for a couple of years, badly. And then, because when I went in hospital, what they did, they put me in, as though I'd broken my back, they put me in a lump, a cast, all the way through. And then they undone it, and then they kept it going like that for a little while. And then I come out, and then I started walking. And when I was, I wouldn't like to say what age I was, but I went. I remember going to the hospital with my dad and my mother, and they turned around and said that if he starts playing football, or he starts playing rugby, or anything like that, and he runs around, then I'm afraid that he won't last till he's 21. That's how bad it was. So I come home, and I used to be so miserable indoors that my dad just turned around and said, go out, enjoy yourself. Because his idea was, if it's going to kill you, it's going to kill you. And there's nothing you can do about it. So, of course, automatically, we went out. I used to go out and play, and then for some unknown reason... All right, I got the pain. I'll tell you when I used to get the pain. If it rained and I walked around in the rain and I got wringing wet or something like that, the next day I'd wake up and I'd be stiff as a board. I couldn't walk around at all. And then for some unknown reason, I went in the army.
But that's later, yeah.
No, that was, well, I say later. It wasn't all that lot much later. I went in the army, and they never picked it up at all.
Now, so, I mean, you joined the army in when you were 18. That's 1951, though.
Yes.
That's 6 years later.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
The effects were still lasting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, way through.
When did you start work? So you leave school at 14. That's
15. I left at 15.
So that's 1948.
Yes, yeah.
And what were you going to do? You still had the effects of rheumatic fever.
Yes,
then,
yeah.
So you didn't get any qualifications then, did you?
No.
So what were you going to do for a job before you joined the army?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest.
You don't know what you did?
I know what I did.
Oh, sorry, yes. Yeah,
but my dad said, my dad brought me home and he sat me down and he said, right, the job you're going to pick now is a job you're going to stick to. And of course, I didn't know what he was talking about. But I went out and I got myself an upholstery job. Reupholstering. And I worked for about a year, and I come home And I said to my dad, oh, I've chucked my job in and this, that and the other, and thinking I was doing the right thing. And he said, no. He said, what you'll do now, he said, you'll be up tomorrow morning, which was a Saturday morning. He said, you'll go out and you'll get yourself a job. He said, you won't come back until you've got a job. And of course, I went out and I managed to get to Catherine Road for a skate. And there was an upholsterer's and it had in the window, boy wanted. So I had to go in there. Then I had to give him my home phone number, Johnny Lopez, to give him my home phone number for him to ring me dad to say that he was going to start me first thing Monday morning. Otherwise, I wouldn't have allowed him indoors. But that's the way he was.
Were you an apprentice?
Yeah, I started off.
Was it a proper apprenticeship?
Oh yes, it was a proper apprenticeship. Yes.
So what do you have to learn as an upholsterer? I mean, I know this still happens. You know, give us an outline of what you did.
What I did was when I first started, I went in, I kept the floors clean, I kept the floors clean, and I'd make sure that you got enough enough springs and everything to do with your job. So in other words, what they were doing, they weren't teaching you one thing, they was teaching you a dozen things, because they used to say, if you knew what had to go into a particular job, then you'd learn a lot quicker. Well, funny enough, it did work out that way. And then one day, the governor come down and he said to me, would you like to start making a three-piece suite? But you've got to make a start upholstering, but you can't, you've got to do your other jobs as well. Which automatically I took on, and I didn't have I had a pair of scissors, but I didn't have a hammer. And this upholsterer, the old boy, he come along and he said, "Yeah," he said, "I've had this hammer for donkey's years," and he gave me this hammer. It was a magnetic hammer, and what you did, you put it to your mouth, and you took a tack out your mouth, and believe it or not, on the way down, you turned the hammer. And you'd knock it in. And then by the time you'd done that, you used to turn the hammer to knock it fully in. It was unbelievable. And it took me a long time to learn it. I went through my lip a few times and through my fingers a few times and what have you. But it wasn't bad at all. And then one day he come up to me and he said, right, what I want you to do, I want you to do that chair completely on your own. I don't want you to ask anybody anything. You just want to... And of course, through all the times I'd learned, I'll just done it. I mean, it's just one of these things that I just done. That's all there was to it. I upholstered it. And he said, that's all right. He said, now we'll start again. And what I'll do, I'll give you a settee this time. And he started giving me a settee, and I was about 16 and a half, 17, and I started upholstering, just like that, for some of the reason. Because what he'd done, well, I suppose it's like everything. If you find a lorry driver that can drive a lorry, you don't leave him indoors doing all the donkey work. You send him out to do the job that you want. And that's what happened to me.
And did you enjoy it? I know you're good
at
it.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know,
oh, yeah. No, I'll tell you why I enjoyed it. Because it was something that I was producing. You'd start off with a frame. And by the time you put it on the floor, you'd actually made a settee. You'd made something which nobody else could make, sort of thing. So you'd think, to yourself, well, that's nice. You know, and stand back. And I always looked at it this way. Whenever I done something like this, it was do it to your best of your ability. And maybe that's what got me going properly. Because I wouldn't do it if I thought, like, cheating and pulling it back, and I knew it was going to leave a wrinkle in, I wouldn't like it, because I'd say to myself, well, I could be buying this settee. So I used to make sure that all the wrinkles were out. That type of thing And I used to come out on top, you know.
Now, what about outside of work and school and the rest of it? Did you have any big hobbies? I mean, you know, sport or anything, or Boys Brigade, Boy Scouts, anything?
Well,
like
unfortunately,
that?
No.
Is this the rheumatic fever?
No, nothing to do with rheumatic fever. It was to do with mummy. Well, I needed money to buy this, buy that, and do this and do that. And the only way that I could find to get it was to work. And lucky enough, the governor that I was working for needed me to work as much as I needed to. He needed to work as much as I needed to do it. So we come to an agreement. I would do the work and he would pay me for doing it. So within reason, I mean, we had a few nice days out, because don't forget we used to have, we used to go out on the workshop trips.
Works outings?
Yeah, work outings. I mean, we used to do all them.
What were they like then, a work outing? Again, it's something that doesn't happen now. What was a good work outing?
I know it don't happen now, but I'll tell you what. We got up in the morning, we went to work at the same time. But funny enough, when you've got there, the coaches were all like ready to go. And they used to get all the booze and put it in the back. And then used to go to South End. Well, I'll tell you what, it took you longer to get to South End than anything. But it used to take a fair old time to go. And on the way back, they used to stop at the halfway house.
Now, what would you do when you got to South End?
Everything and nothing. You'd be on the coaster, the rides and everything like that. You'd really have a good go at it. I mean, funny enough, I don't know if you'd heard it, on the telly the other night, they was talking about the old South End, where the old boat lakes used to be. Well, when we're talking about, they were there, funny enough. And of course, another thing we used to go for was the lights at Southend. Do you remember the lights? We used to go up the hill. I mean, when we used to go there, and the Kurzel, I mean, you'd have the Kurzel. I mean, that's gone from there now, but the Kurzel was a big place, and I always used to have coaches like pulling in there.
What was the Kurzel? Can you just explain for us?
It's a Kurzel, it's the. Got everything from bumper cars to slot machines.
It's a fairground,
it's an indoor fairground, if you like, amusement park. You'd have what I call it, pot shies and all that old palaver there, and you'd thoroughly enjoy yourself.
And on the way back, you'd call in at the
halfway house, and but the main thing that used to get out of this was the young girls that went, that after about 2 months, they never used to come back to work. It always used to happen, funny enough, because you know why? The young, I mean, I wasn't old enough to do it. Let me tell you, I wasn't old enough.
But some of them got pregnant.
Yes, they did. A lot of them got pregnant then, I'll tell you.
Now, what would you do? I mean, did you go to the pub or dance clubs or snooker halls or for entertainment? I mean, I know you worked hard, but there must have been some play. I mean,
mainly the place I used to go to was cinemas. Now,
what were cinemas like then? Because, again, it's all changed.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can only tell you about the ones near us. Coronation, Premier, Granada. Now, the Granada, that was a lovely place. You used to queue up there, and you'd go in, and you'd have two films, plus you'd have a stage show. And it was
a live
stage show every time, and it used to be really good. Now, I mean, for you to get in there on a Friday, you'd miss the stage show. You had to miss the stage show. Couldn't get in there otherwise, unless of course you went, say, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you'd be in there and you'd stay in there all day. But mainly, a Saturday night was one. Friday and Saturday night was the worst of all. Because don't forget, you remember we used to come home. We used to come home to Dick Barton. Used to have to rush home.
On the radio.
On the radio. Dick, 6:45 to 7 o'clock. Dick Barton, special agent. And I'll tell you what, the people that remember then is unbelievable.
And what was popular at the cinema? What did you like to get?
Burt Lancaster, Flame and the Arrow, Bambi, about the little Bambi that died. Something to, in the Navy, there used to be a load of Navy ones there. But mainly it was Burt Lancaster and his crew, the circus ones. There used to be a lot of them. And then there was John Wayne, I can't think of the name of the blooming thing. He had he went and had a cattle drive across the mountains. And this boy, he was a boy, had a fight with him. But he come worse, John Wayne come worst off. And of course, he actually went in and he beat the blokes and got all the cattle into the place they should have gone and done everything like that. And then they automatically, they automatically, like, when he was going to come out, he was going to shoot him. And at the end, he didn't. But that's the kind of films we used to like. I used to like, anyway. They're the type.
What
of
about
film.
The pub? I mean,
I never went to a pub.
Not even before when you were 17, 18.
Not even when I was 17,
what
18.
What about the dance halls? Did you like?
No,
dance
I didn't halls? Like dance halls. So I used to go mainly. Pardon?
It was a cinema for you.
Yeah, it was definitely a cinema. Or I'll tell you another thing they used to have, which I didn't use a lot, although I did use a little bit. Youth clubs.
There was a couple. Youth clubs?
Pardon?
Which youth clubs?
There used to be one at, I'm worse than you, you're thinking you about names. There was one at Manor Park.
Well, what did they offer? Tell me what a typical youth club gave you then.
Really, boxing, swimming, dance hall. They used to have a dance regularly, a couple of times a week. Boxing, I've already said.
Did you do boxing?
I did do a little bit of it, but I didn't fancy it all that much, so I didn't do it. I didn't like getting punched on the nose so much.
Now, what about coming up to, you knew you were going to be called up.
Oh, right? Yes.
When you
yeah.
were 18.
Yes.
Now, you were 18, what, that'd be 1951?
Yeah.
20th of November 1951. And what was the call-up procedure as far as you were aware of it? What happened? How did it all work?
Well, what I can remember of being called up, I got a paper through to say that I had to go to a particular place, and from there I'd be there at, say, 9 o'clock in the morning. But then what they would do, they'd put you right through the medical. I'd go through medical, make sure everything was all right and everything like that. And then I was told to go home. And then within a couple of days, I got another letter saying that I'd been accepted for the army.
Now, do you remember the medical? How strict was it? I mean, was it a proper medical or was it just for the sake of it?
He kept on telling me to bend down. that's all I could remember. Medical, no, there wasn't a medical at all, not really. Not, you know, I mean, they grabbed hold of you and made you cough and things like that, but nothing else. I mean, that's about as far as it went.
Now, when were you actually called up then? Do you remember when you had to go? Was it before? Because your birth worked very near Christmas.
Yeah.
Was it after Christmas in...
I'm sure it was after Christmas that I went, and I went to Guildford.
Do you know the name of the barracks?
All I can tell you, they're the Queen's Regiment. They're the ones at the Guildford.
And when would that be? January?
I would think more or less more January than.
So that would be January
52. Yeah, 52.
Checking. Just make sure we're on the right line. You know. Now, what we, you know, when you got there, you arrive as a civilian. You've not done any army stuff. You've not been in the army cadet, have you?
No. Oh, I'd been in the army cadets, but I didn't know what I was going to let myself in for.
What did you do with the army? We'll just do that quickly. What did you do with the army cadets? How much training do you have with them?
I had about 6 months with them. I learned how to use a rifle. Go away, because we went away on camp with them. We went away for a week on camp. While we was away, we had to go out of the night and attack somewhere and things like that. But that's about all we really did.
And when had you been in the army cadets? How old were you?
It was only when I was, what shall I say? I must have been 15, 16.
So about 19, 48, 49.
That's it, yeah.
And, right, so when you, what would you say, you know, you arrive as a civilian then, your dad, that was quite, that was, yeah. You know, 3 or 4 years before then, and you arrive at Guildford, what's the reception like? You know,
lovely. You walked in, they said, righto boys, you would go and put your sacks on beds, and you would do this and do that, and you spoke to a sergeant, and he would say, how are you? You're a gentleman and everything like that. Right, don't forget to get something to eat, and then you'd go and get your kit, because you used to have to go and get your kit, and then you used to go, and it was true. I can assure you it was true.
What was true?
They started off at one end, and this sergeant used to walk down and say, 7 3/8, half an hour, but battle dress 3, and all that, you know?
They just guessed.
Oh, he just guessed. And when you found out you didn't say it didn't fit, he'd ask you what size shoes you took. That's about the only thing he asked you. But everything else, he was forget. So if you got something that didn't fit, then automatically you would... you'd have to exchange. But within reason, everything did fit. He was very, very good at his job.
What did you get? Do you remember what they gave you?
Oh, yeah. They give you everything. Battle dress, underpants, underwear, spoon, anything to eat with. You name it that goes in your kit bag, they give you on that particular day. Overcoat, hat. Hackle, because I didn't have a hackle then, was the Queen's Regiment badge and all that kind of a thing. But that's what they did for you. And they give you clean stuff to clean your shoes with, or boots with and everything, boots and everything.